for me. Something you call love, but confess.
Welcome back to the Bruce Allen Show with Dad's Point of View. This is an unusual show for me. I am Bruce Allen, and it's unusual because it's my annual review of things that we've spoken about on the show and things that I've written about on BruceAllen.com. Usually I have two or three guests, often Wayne Levine for the men's room, Pastor Drew Sams for Teen Rap, and Dr. Jennifer Weberman for the women's room. But this week I am doing it all by my lonesome, with Richard Dugan, my engineer and producer, just pointing fingers at me, telling me when it's time to shut up. Because, of course, I never want to shut up. Just ask my kids. They say, Dad, you talk so much, you talk so much, you talk so much. So I've been talking about a lot of different things, including encouraging you to get my new book, which is an e-book called The Empty Nest Road Trip Blues, an interactive journal from a dad's point of view. It's about my journey taking my son from Los Angeles to Boston to start college. And you can get it on Amazon, on Nook, on iTunes for $2.99, or go to my website and get the PDF for $2.79. And you will be supporting this author. I think I will probably get rich at $2.79 per copy. I might have enough money to buy a new computer someday. In the meantime, let's talk further about what we have talked about and written about over the course of the year. I attended the Outside Lands Music Festival in San Francisco, and there were 40,000 of my closest friends there every day of the 3 days that I was there. With the rare exception of some of the performers, like Neil Young, I was the oldest person there by at least 20 years. I took hours of video, and I got introduced to incredibly fun new bands that I'd never heard of, like this wonderful band from Sweden, I think, or Norway. It's called Of Monsters and Men. Their show was just glorious. Then I also saw one of the old guys, Neil Young, and his show was just god-awful. He was so bizarre and weird that I can't even begin to describe it. He couldn't ever end a song. He'd end a song, and then it would keep on going and going. And then he'd get into this odd riff with the bass player or the drummer, and it would go on and on and on. It was the strangest show. And he only did a handful of the songs that we all love of Neil Young's, but he is such an icon that it was still very cool to be there. So I wrote a column about being there, and I called it An Old Guy at Outside Lands 2012. Music, music, music. It was fun. I also posted several vlog, which is videos, my videos are called I'm Not That Dad. And I do show you Neil Young and others that I saw in Monsters and Men. And it was, there was amazing, amazing lineup. Another column I wrote that I really think is interesting, just the idea. It's called Things I Envy About My Kids. Now, to me, there's a huge distinction between the word envy and jealousy. Envy is not unhealthy. Jealousy usually is. And the things I envy about my kids are the things that they will experience in their lives that I won't, because I won't be around, God willing. They will outlive me by a lot. And it's also the things I envy are the things that they'll be doing for the first time that I've already done. Things like first kiss, first love, hopefully only marriage, first kid, second kid, I hope they'll have a kid or two, seeing the world, first trip to Europe, first trip to any number of places that I've been that my kids have yet to be. I envy that they will have all those joyful experiences. And that column was fun to write, to just think about the things that they will do, much of which I hope to see and at least vicariously enjoy, but some of which for sure I won't be around for. And that's even if I do live a full and long life. So that was another column I wrote this year. I've told you about the two blog series. I wrote one with my co-writer, Professor David Weber, on the evolution of technology, about watches. Who wears a watch anymore? All the kids I know use their phones for telling time. And less adults I know wear watches. And I had a love affair with watches, as did David Weber, the professor who writes these columns with me. And so that column was a walk down memory lane of a tech device that there are very high-tech versions of watches, but I don't know. It may be going the way of the horse and buggy as far as how many people actually wear a watch on their wrist for the purpose of telling time. My wife bought for me last year my first really good watch. It was a tourbillon movement, which if you know what that is, that's the finest movement of a watch. And it's a wind-up watch. They normally cost tens of thousands of dollars. But both Russia and Japan have started making real tourbillon watches. They're not copies of the expensive Swiss brands. They're the same kind of movement with their own designs. And we found this really beautiful Russian watch. It was still more money than I would ever have spent. But my wife, unbeknownst to me, after we found this watch, bought it as a special present for my birthday last year. And it is beautiful. And it will probably be the last watch I ever buy. I don't have a need for any other watch. And that's kind of a weird thing to say, that I probably will never buy another watch. How interesting. We also, in the evolution of technology, talked about television back in the day. Back when there was black and white TV only, then color, and only three networks, no cable, no video way of recording, no DVR, no movies at home. In fact, the movies you saw were movies that were then cut and edited and put on TV. There was famously, CBS used to air every year Gone with the Wind. And it was an annual event. Another annual event that took place when I was a child was the airing of The Wizard of Oz. All these things are not the way they used to be. And the column talked about that. Another column I wrote, and another thing that I've talked about many times on the radio show, and one of my sayings is that social media equals social good. And this column was called How to Make a Difference One Person at a Time. There's a Jewish saying called Tikkun Olam, and that means repair the world. And on my Facebook page every Sunday, I ask, what are you doing to repair the world? What have you done today? What can you do? And in Judaism, it's the belief, tikkun olam, you repair the world one person at a time. And everybody can repair the world. And it's what happens to most of us is we look at a problem, and it's so big, curing cancer, the fallout from the horrible massacre in Newtown, Connecticut, is such a big problem. How can I help? Well, there's knee-jerk reactions, gun control. Well, that's not the problem. It's a much bigger problem than gun control. It's a societal problem. And those are big. It's educating kids. It's the breakdown of the family in that case. But you can help the world one person at a time. Become a big brother. I've been a big brother twice. Mentor someone. I mentor a young man who has a fatal illness, and I see him once every week or two. It is a beautiful thing to do. You will feel better, and you can help make the world a better place one person at a time. Don't feel that you have to be the founder of the Gates Foundation or some other gigantic charity to make a difference. If you impact one person's life, you will impact the world. And that's what Tikkun Olam means. It means if we all repair the world one person at a time, the whole world will be repaired. So think about it. What can you do in 2013? And what can you model for your kids to do that isn't just about self-indulgence? And I can assert from my own life that when I was in a very bad place, I started giving back, and it got me out of that bad place emotionally, got me out of a depression I was in. It will help you be a better person, especially if you're in a funk, and it will teach your kids the value of giving back. All right, we will continue on with this show and my annual review after these messages.
It's breaking when there are clouds in the sky. You'll get by if you smile through your fear and sorrow.